Hi, I'm Sam Fesich from the EduMagic Podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another great episode of My EdTech Life. Thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful Thursday. That's right. It's Thursday. This has been an amazing week. So I'm just really excited to be here with you all as this is our fourth show this week. And again, sometimes when everything lines up, it just works out magnificently. And tonight is just that, magnificent. So I am excited to be here with you all today. And for all of our audience members, thank you so much, as always, for all of your support. Thank you so much for making My EdTech Life what it is today. We do what we do for you so we can bring you some amazing content, amazing conversations week in and week out. And tonight, it's going to be amazing. Talk about, you know, just visualizing your learning, just, you know, an amazing tool, collaboration, communication, all of that wrapped into one platform and then some. So today I would just love to welcome our amazing guests. As you can see, we've got four wonderful guests here, and I'll go ahead and start with introducing Val O'Brien. We've got Tom Little. We've got Shira. Oh, I'm sorry, Shira. I forgot to ask your last name. Can you help me with that? Moskowitz. Shira Moskowitz. Thank you so much, Shira. And we've got Vanessa Cicero. All right, that are joining us here. So thank you for being here this evening. And today we're going to be talking about just the magic of this amazing platform that we're talking about today. And that is Lucid for Education that we're talking about. As you can see in the show title, we're going to talk about how Lucid for Education transforms the classrooms. So I'm excited to dive in into today's conversation. But before we do, and we get into the meat of it, I definitely would love to give each and every one of you some time to give us a little brief introduction and what your context is within the education space. So what we'll do here is we'll go ahead and start with Val. Val, for all our audience members that are joining us live and are catching this, if you can give us a little brief introduction and what your context in education is.
Yeah, I've had a lot of different assignments over the years, but I primarily have spent my time teaching English and Spanish in high school. Now I've moved up to the college level teaching freshman composition. But I'm crazy and I'm not done learning. So I recently started working towards my math endorsement, and I started with elementary math. So I use Lucid for every content area and every grade level.
Wow, I absolutely love that. And I love that range, and also the fact that you're a lifelong learner. And elementary mathematics is definitely one. It's definitely my jam. Number one, as a former math teacher in the classroom for 11 years, it's just been great. And so thank you so much for sharing that. Now we've got Tom. Tom, if you can give us a little brief introduction and what your context in education is.
I spent all my career in the classroom. I teach elementary. I taught ranging third, fourth, and fifth. I'm currently teaching fifth grade right now. I spent a lot of years in fourth, but yeah, I love the classroom. I'd rather stay there than anywhere. So that's where I'm at.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And Shira, can you give us a little brief introduction and your context in education?
Sure. So I'm a public school teacher. I teach two things, special ed and technology, split my day. So I definitely use Lucid for both of those roles in the elementary school setting. And I also teach current teachers who are learning towards their Oregon-Dillingham licenses. And I use Lucid in that context as well.
Wonderful. Well, that is amazing. I just love that. Thank you so much. We've got Tim Cavey here who's joining us also as well, saying that he loves this panel. Vanessa, how about yourself? Can you give us a little brief introduction and what your context is within the education or Lucid space?
Perfect. Yeah. Hey, everyone. So I'm Vanessa. I started my career in elementary education like Tom. So I have taught grades first through fourth. I like to move around a lot. I really like to try out all the grade levels. Third, I hear, was everyone else's favorite, but I'm still a first grade lover for life. And then I became an ed tech coach after that. So I was working here in Utah coaching teachers on using technology in the classroom. And now I work with Lucid for Education on training and supporting everybody using Lucid to support their instruction and student learning.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Vanessa. I appreciate you sharing that. And for myself, as far as elementary, my favorite grade was fifth grade. So I'm just throwing that out there. I did alternate between fifth and sixth. I did 3 years of high school also as well, but fifth grade was my jam. I really loved it there also. All right. Well, let's go ahead and dive in. And I love the fact that you all shared a little bit of how you use Lucid and obviously within the different grade levels and different positions and so on. And obviously, too, for you, Vanessa, just the fact that you're here also representing Lucid. I'm really excited because I know that you'll be able to share in answering any questions about Lucid and just how great it is and also possibly any, future integrations or obviously any updates to the platform. But let's go ahead and dive in as far as the firsthand knowledge of Lucid, as far as when did you discover Lucid? How did you discover it? And how did you start implementing it into your classroom? So I'll go ahead and start with Tom here first. So Tom, can you tell us a little bit about how you first got introduced to Lucid and how it worked out for your classroom and in what ways have you used it?
Interestingly enough, I went to a tech conference we have here in Utah about 3 days before the world shut down. And one of the people I met was people from Lucid, and I went to their class and they said, hey, here's some things you can do with it. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. Things are getting kind of hairy. So I went home, I went back to class the next day and I said, okay, guys, we're just gonna experiment with this stuff. I started from there, just working with the people back in 2020. And I just kind of, every year I go back to the conference and learn more stuff. And I've, had a lot of conversations with Vanessa and learned a lot of neat things to do with my students in a myriad of ways. So,
yeah. Excellent. Well, I love that though. Like, interestingly, like you said, 3 days of this conference before everything shut down, and you just happened to find a great tool that was going to help you, obviously, while everything was locked down and in the virtual space. But one thing that I love that you said is like, hey, you know what? This is what I found. We're going to try it out and so on. And that just really kind of goes with my kind of style where I'm just like, hey, we're just going to get clicky with it. I'm going to show you the little that I know, and then we're going to build off of that and then just take it from there. So thank you so much for sharing that, Tom. Now we'll go ahead and go with Shira. Shira, tell us a little bit about how you first got introduced to Lucid and what were your initial thoughts?
So I actually chose Lucid out of one of our partner certifications that New York City Public Schools offers, different trainings with different tech companies. And I chose Lucid, I want to say maybe it was 1.5, 2 years ago, not really knowing what it was, but I was like, I haven't heard of this. I should learn about it. And from the go, I think maybe a day or two later, I had an idea for a unit, went with it in my tech class, and it's been going great from there. Generally, when I teach something to my students, I want it to be something that ties into content they're learning, but then they can then use on their own after to further their learning. So I did a unit with mind maps and sharing about their identities, but then they can then use that for themselves anytime they're mind mapping, anytime they're brainstorming anything in class, they don't need me there. Once they've learned it in tech class, they can take it on their own. And it's been a wild ride ever since.
Oh, that is great. I love that. And I will come back to you and ask a little bit more about your experience too, because like you said, you kind of split into two roles. So I want to ask though, do you use this also with your special education group as well?
Probably every day. Yes. That ties more into like the Orton-Gillingham side of things. Mm-hmm. I use Lucid for assessment purposes. When an activity, there's virtual activities, when that can be an assessment tool for me, I have 100% buy-in from students of every range and every ability. And it makes it makes my job easier. It makes their engagement easier. Just win-win.
I love that. That a win is a win. And I love that, that you get that from both sides. And also, like you mentioned, you know, it does not matter the level, you know, of the student. You're using it in an effective way, in a way where you can still assess, have a learning artifact, understand if the student is does have mastery of the subject in a very visual and easy way. So I absolutely love that. Val, can you tell us a little bit about how you were introduced to Lucid and your initial thoughts and how you're putting it into practice?
Yeah, I learned about Lucid during a tech endorsement class that my district was offering. So I was attending this class to earn an ed tech endorsement, and that's where I heard about Lucid. They give you some time to practice with it and develop lesson plans using every tool. And then I fell in love, and our district had purchased licenses. And so then once I knew how to use it, I just started using it with my students. And mind mapping was probably the first thing that we attempted. But once you get in there and you see the capability that this tool has, you start getting so many ideas of other ways you can use it.
That is great. I absolutely love that. And again, you know, all it takes is just that one initial introduction and just getting really familiar with the tool, and just the fact that you all happen to, you know, find Lucid and you have done so much with it. I mean, considering, you know, 2020, now we're in 2023 and you're still continuing to use this and implement it into your classrooms. So I want to ask you though, initially, you know, and we know this with a lot of the technology, you know, as far as technology integration, and I'm very much kind of like what Tom described. It's like, look, I'm not the subject matter expert at this. I'm going to show you the little that I know, and we're going to go and roll with it. We're just going to get clicky with it and adapt as we go and learn. So I want to ask you, and I'll go ahead and start off with Val first. As far as your experience with Lucid and integrating it into your classroom, can you tell us a little bit of maybe just some of the initial challenges that you might have faced, and then how you overcame those challenges?
I think the first thing, even with students that are a little bit older, so I was teaching high school students for the first time, there are just so many tools that it can be a little bit overwhelming. And so I love your phrase, like, let's get clicky. That's really the first thing is, I think Tom mentioned this too, like, you just have to spend a little bit of time clicking around, getting used to things, letting students try out the different functions, and then you can start giving them things to do. And I have never had a student be resistant. They're always very excited to use this tool. It brings a really engaging element into the content.
That's great. I absolutely love that. All right. So Tom, how about yourself? You know, initially like I said, we just got clicky with it, and I'm sure that you and your kiddos took off with it. But what was some of the initial impressions from your students when they first saw Lucid and you introduced it to them? And then maybe just overcoming those hurdles that might have come obviously with something new, and then just kind of growing from there.
Yeah, I think that I kind of look at it, it's like a new toy. You know, we open up the new toy and they just kind of go everywhere. And so that's the kind of thing I think for a lot of teachers when they first try something is things get messy, you know, like they're kind of everywhere and they're looking at this and look at that. And if you don't step into it knowing that, things can really start to kind of fall apart and unravel. And there were some days where I'm like, well, this did not go how I thought it would. And so then I would email Vanessa or I would email someone else and I say, okay, I need a tweak or a fix here. And then we would soldier on. But they love it. I mean, whenever I say we're going to do Lucid and I have a shirt, and they're like, hey, they just recognize Lucid for what it is. Is that thing we get to do that is fun. And so it's nice that I don't have to do too much to battle to get them to engage. It's then how do I channel their focus, and we actually can be effective is kind of the struggle I oftentimes have.
Oh, excellent. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. But I love that excitement, you know, and especially with the group. And like you said, yes, I get that feeling. Now I like that. It's like a new toy that you're just unwrapping and you're just playing around and learning. So I love that. Now, Shira, I know you mentioned a little bit about how you're split into two roles, and you kind of mentioned a little, you know, as far as the usage, you know, how you're using it for assessment at all various grade levels and so on. But I want to ask you, you know, also the same question, you know, how did you discover it, or actually the initial impression once you started introducing it to students, and maybe just how you overcame some of those barriers to get you to where you're at now with your students and the mind mapping activities and so on?
Sure. So I think the biggest hurdle for us was, aside from like everyone else said, that there's this initial like press every button, and I build those into my units. It's just exploration, go for it, make a mess, get there. And then once we've done that, that's when I'll introduce, okay, this is what we're going to do. So my first unit in fifth grade is always about digital identity. And we get into lots of different components of their identities. And I ask them to break it apart and think for themselves, what are the important parts of their identities? What do they want people to know? We get into different things like privacy. What do you not share with the public? You know, lots of different components, but I ask them to just really think about themselves. And one of the biggest challenges that I can show, I have one of my students' mind maps here. She struggled at first, and this was across the board, is that, wait, now my thinking is visual. You mean, instead of saying our traditional teachers, like, leave it in Comic Sans or leave it in Times New Roman or whatever it is that we set it on, like, don't change the font, don't change the colors. I was like, wait, some of your circles are really dark and I can't read your text. And she had to think back through, like, if I'm making my thinking visual and visible, it actually needs to be visible. So like thinking through that, it's not just in my brain going onto the screen. It's now if other people are going to process it, what can I do? But she really took it really far. And she wrote this beautiful paragraph about all that she had thought about her identity based on this thinking. So this thinking really helped her organize her ideas in a way that she was able to express her thinking. And then this was one of our showcase products that's now hanging in our school bulletin board and our all around the world diversity board. And her piece was chosen to say, like, look, I've really thought about my identity. This is where I come from. This is my community. This is my culture. And using Lucid was able, not only able to help her think that through, but she just put that identity map right on top of her paragraph. And now our whole school gets to see that. So it was a great problem for her to have in learning about making her thinking visual.
You know, and that's something that is so important, you know, just the visualization of learning. And I think for me this week, kind of the theme of all the shows, and it's amazing how everything has lined up, is really just that reflection piece, really giving students that time to digest the learning that they've taken in and be able to reflect on that, whether it's something that is digital or recording, or in this case, something visual through Lucid, and be able to walk through that process. And it's so important that we do that. And oftentimes, I know in my experience and from what I see, it's always, you know, the curriculum, you have to be at a certain point, at a certain deadline, and you just got to go, go, go. And oftentimes, you know, a lot of this valuable time, I call it return on investment and return on instruction, we kind of lose that a little bit because we're always go, go, go. But I love the way that your student really just analyzed, dove deep. And then obviously that reflection that she wrote was just amazing. And being able to see that really helps capture that. So that's great. So now, Vanessa, I'm going to throw you into the mix because I know, you know, you're working for Lucid, and through your experience, not only how you found Lucid, because I mean, you found it at a great time also, because I know that you work for them now. But I want to ask you, from your experience, maybe on that overarching view that you have, what have been maybe some of the just initial obstacles that teachers face? But then after that, what have been some of those wonderful wins, like we just saw an example of here, that you have seen or heard of?
Yeah. So some of the initial obstacles, I definitely am going to highlight everything everybody else has been saying. It's the same with any tech tool, regular manipulatives in the classroom. Anytime you give students something new, they're going to go crazy with it and have a ton of fun. And so with that, I think when we go to any digital tool, there have been a lot of barriers of, okay, once they're in a digital space, how can I facilitate that learning? And then I think as Lucid has progressed from when I first found it, you know, back when I was still teaching, till now, we have a lot more facilitator controls, which I think have really helped with some of those barriers. So like my biggest pet peeve, like I mentioned earlier, sending out templates to students, I invite them all into a collaborative space and then they delete things, move things, hide things. You're like pulling your hair out, not knowing what's going on. And so I'm sure everyone on this call right now is probably tired of me saying how much I love the lock feature, but the fact that you can, once Lucid came up with the lock feature, you could lock things down and then you could add facilitator controls so your students could only do certain things in the board, which allows for you to have some of those bigger wins related to collaboration. Because I think as teachers, we're all scared of a digital collaboration space. And so we need to be brave, like Tom said, expect that students are going to have some fun in there at first, but then we can have huge gains with having students actually adding collaboratively to the board, everybody seeing what everybody's doing, reading off of each other's, building off those ideas. And then I love thinking about it in kind of that equity piece I hear a lot from teachers. We've all experienced the student who morning meeting, class discussions, anytime you're like, I can look at them for 5 minutes of wait time and they are never going to say anything. They are going to win this race. But with having that digital component to collaboration, they feel a little less pressure and they're more likely to contribute to that digital space. So now everybody in my class can contribute in a way that they feel comfortable. So I think that's some of the biggest wins, is really equipping our students with some more confidence and the ability to actively engage in those collaborative experiences.
And that's one thing that is important that you've hit on. And again, it definitely resonates with everything that you all have been sharing too as well. It's just really that collaboration piece, but also students being able to work with peers and maybe give peer feedback. And that's something, you know, those are some of those skills that, you know, oftentimes we lack when we're going go, go, go in the curriculum, and that we don't have enough time to build, I guess, what people, you know, they call the soft skills, you know, that collaboration piece, that creativity, the, you know, communication and so on. So being able to have a digital platform where everybody can come together at once and really just see each other's work and feed off of each other's work and be able to communicate through their own work and their own voice and amplifying their creativity, I think that is something that is wonderful. And it's just one of the things that I do love from what I've been hearing from all of you, and then also from what I've been experiencing myself, you know, diving into Lucid recently and just learning more about it. So I'm going to come back to Val. So Val, I'm going to go ahead and bring your screen up, and then you can go ahead and walk us here through this activity that you're sharing with us.
Yeah, Lucid is so many things. You can use it as a presentation tool, you can use it as a collaborative space, and then students can use it individually. And so what we're looking at right now is a way that my students like to map out the articles that we read in class. They're tracking the arguments that each text has, and they're making connections between the text. I don't know if you can see the little arrows very well, but these are the power of Lucid, is that you have this ever-expanding canvas. You can be continually adding things to it. And my favorite thing about Lucid is that we cycle back to it weekly or almost daily. So we are constantly adding new knowledge to our Lucid chart. We're making new connections between what we learned last time and what we learned today, adding new thoughts. And there are just so many ways to do it. This is just one way.
That is amazing. And, you know, this is so wonderful. Again, just the fact that going from traditional, like the way we do it, and there's nothing absolutely wrong with still working with pen and paper and so on, pencil and paper, and getting creative in that aspect. But when you have a tool that has everything that you need and then some, and then be able to see what we're seeing here, the organization of it, you've got your arrows, everything is color coded. And not only that, but the content that is there is just something that is great, where students are building up that digital dexterity, that digital literacy, that digital just know-how, and still being able to hit that creative component and amplifying that creativity based on what your rubric or what your assignment demands of them. And having a beautiful learning artifact like this is something that is just amazing and wonderful. And the fact that, again, going back to what Vanessa said and what all of you are saying, being able to have all students there at once where they can collectively work or, you know, individually work on their own pages and so on. So I think that's something that is wonderful there. I'm just inspired because these are just some wonderful ideas that not only I'm getting, but also our audience members that are learning here today about what can be done. So now I know I talked a little bit about that creativity and that component of digital literacy. So I want to ask, and I'll go ahead and start with Tom. I'll start with you first. How have you seen the use of Lucid throughout the years, or maybe even just from the beginning of the year to the end of the year with any particular class that you may have had? How has it helped your students develop, obviously, their digital and creative skills?
That's a really good question. I think first and foremost, the thing that I think of is it allows me to instantly assess. And so if there are even from like a digital aspect, if they're putting in like, I find at the beginning of the year, I start and I show them, here's an example of, you know, a comic that we're going to make, and they all look the same. And then as they start to look at everybody else's, they start to see, oh, wait, where did you find that? And how did you do that? And so just the fact that they're seeing each other's work, they're able to like, oh, I want to go. In some cases, it kind of becomes like a one up, but in a good way, right? Because it's like, oh, I can make it cooler with this, or I can bring in a GIF or a GIF or however you want to say it. I can bring in those videos, and so it goes from a very simple like, oh, this is the cookie cutter that Mr. Little showed me, so I'm going to do that, to, oh wow, this kid kind of stretched the envelope or went a little off script, and it just expands their ability just to be creative. And just to kind of try something. And the beauty of it is they love to showcase what they can do without having any attention on them. Even though they don't realize that people are seeing what they're doing, no one's looking at them. And so they're much more, there's just a lot more freedom for them to express themselves. It's really neat.
I love what you said there. You know, one of the things is oftentimes, you know, sometimes we will put students on the spot like, hey, you got to go up there and present. Maybe that's not their modality of sharing their learning. And oftentimes, you know, I did have a lot of students that were very quiet and very shy, and they just didn't feel comfortable. It wasn't their jam. So what I did is I would just say, hey, you can go ahead and do a presentation. And sometimes just because they did a presentation either on a Google slide or, you know, they created an infographic, they definitely spoke loudly and shared that they did master the content and understand the content. But this is the one thing that I love, that, like you said, you know, all the eyes aren't on them and it's on the work. So they feel less pressure. So that's something interesting and something that I really like. Shira, how about yourself, Shira? Can you give us a little example of what you've seen in both your worlds that you are, you know, since you're split up into that tech side, and then of course with a special education, share a little bit of maybe some examples or some stories that you may have.
Sure. So I think that it's also just important to note that I teach my special ed students as a technology teacher also. So when I'm teaching them or I'm exposing them to something from Lucid in a special ed class, it's not the first time they've seen it. So it always starts with my tech class, and this is my first unit with them. And on every rubric that I ever give my students, there's like an extra column, you know, like we're at a 1 to 4 rating scale, and 5 is you did something that I didn't teach you. So you took that initiative, you explored, and you found something to incorporate and make your work better that I didn't even mention. And there's always going to be more buttons, more features, more whatever it is that I can't teach them. So they take that initiative themselves and they go find it and they use it, then that's great. And the next step is for them to become an expert. So what happens next is that my students are then saying, hey, I know how to do this thing. Either it's something that I taught them that they really know how to do well, or it's something I didn't teach that they know how to do really well, and them taking that ownership. So maybe that student that can't do math, you know, they have a visual processing disability, they have a language-based disability, you know what I mean? That there's so much else going on for them, but they are an expert in adding comments to give feedback, you know? They know how to do that really well. So when someone is stuck, they know I can find student A, and student A is an expert. And maybe student A is not an expert in anything else in class that year, but they're an expert in this. And it slowly, as they build expertise in different areas, it takes the teaching time away from me. Say, okay, listen, we're going to talk about comments today, but so-and-so is an expert. And maybe in the beginning of the year, when we do those identity maps, they're still really timid and they're still just, you know, they're not getting up in front of the class. But by the end of the year, everyone has found an expertise in something, something that they know really well. They can get up and talk. And I said, okay, today's comments, that kid's getting up and they're just going to show you how to do it. I'm going to sit back and watch and I will facilitate, but this kid is teaching you. So I've seen students with every range of ability. And on the other side, we have students who are new to the country. They came in not speaking English. By the end of the year, they're an expert in something and they're getting up in front of a class and speaking in English about this topic. So I really see this transition throughout the school year of students feeling, whether it's accurate that they don't have skills or just a lack of confidence or lack of language skills, and they take that and go with it.
I love that. I mean, that's really so inspiring. And one thing that you mentioned too is everybody becomes an expert at something. So that's one thing that I love, and how I assess a tool or an instrument such as Lucid is, you know, what level do, or how engaged are the students, number one, and how the ease of use for the students, but then also how creative the students can be. And then you're absolutely right. They start developing those skills, just like Tom mentioned too, as well. You know, it almost becomes competitive for some, and that kind of drives them, that intrinsic motivation, that motivation that they have to say, oh, well, if you can do that, I'm going to try and go that one step further. And then, of course, you're what you were stating, that, you know, emergent bilingual student coming in, being able to log on to a platform like Lucid Collaborate, learn from their peers, and you're getting the language acquisition, that comfort level, and then they are an expert in that one particular thing, you know, or, you know, like you mentioned, Eve, it could just be something as simple as comments for peer feedback or just any other thing there. So that's great. Val, how about yourself? What have you seen how have you seen your students develop or grow as far as their digital, their tech savviness, and also their creativity through the power of Lucid?
Yeah, it's... I'm looking for something else to pull up. Vanessa knows that I love using Lucid. Oh, I found it. Can I share it really
quick? Yes, of course.
Okay. So this might sound not that creative, but we have a lot of research projects that we do. And I think it's this one. Yes. And so we got to find a way to work through each stage of the research and writing process. And, you know, it's so hard when you're moving from stage to stage. Things get lost. People save things in different places and they get lost. People forget where they were at yesterday. And so I'm going to zoom in. And so you can see this a little bit better. But this is, I mean, we will start a Lucid Spark and we will use it throughout the entire process. And so we'll start with a group Lucid Spark and we will generate ideas together. Then students will come back and they'll come to our group Lucid chart and maybe pick on a specific area to focus. So this student, for example, picked nutrition and they decided they were really going to dive into that topic. They pick it apart with the mind mapping first, then they start searching and they start dropping in links to everything that they find here. This was somebody else's mind map. They wanted to talk about history. They went to the database. They found some fantastic articles. It's really hard to keep track of everything that you're finding. And so I love that they can put it all here in Lucid and see the relationships between the articles that they found, the different areas that they were interested in learning about. And so you can see here, we color code things and the student notices, hey, I have a lot of articles in this pink area. We have conversations about it. I think this is an area I would like to focus on for my research and for my writing. And so it's just such a wonderfully visual way of keeping track of what you're finding, keeping track of what you're learning, what you're thinking. You can come back to it every class period. It's still here and you can move it around. You can collaborate. We will actually move on and we use the same canvas. Once we have all of those sources, we start picking them apart. We start vetting them. So that's what you see right here. We start annotating those PDFs. There's just so much. And I love that it's all right here and it's all at the students' fingertips.
Wow, that is amazing, Val. I mean, and this is what I love about this. And Vanessa, I'm going to come to you in just a second. But I mean, from what I'm seeing is at every grade level and at every level of student and just what is available, what can be done through here is just amazing. You know, just everything that you've shared really it's just a wonderful tool. And like right now, I'm just kind of like in awe because as we know, when pandemic hit, you know, there was very few tools that many people knew about at that time because it was like, well, we had to flip the switch. Everybody get your Chromebooks out. You're starting work from home. And, you know, there were some very popular platforms that were being used, but they were not as robust as this from what we're seeing here from Lucid. And that just really exciting because everything that you could be doing, like you can put your article links in there, you've got pictures, you've got your map, that organization that's there. So it's a great way to really just save and curate your information in one space that is collaborative or not collaborative, but this is just amazing and wonderful. So Vanessa, I want to come to you now too. And very in a similar question, you know, before we talk a little bit more and dive in a little bit more into Lucid, but just what have you seen or heard obviously from the teachers, you know, such as wonderful. I mean, we've got some wonderful representation here with Val, with Tom and with Shira, but from anywhere else, you know, what are some ways that maybe teachers have seen that creative or the creativity component grow within their students while using Lucid?
Yeah, and so this kind of comes back. I was working with the district a month or so ago, and we mapped out a project for visualizing math specifically in the classroom. So taking math, and Val also has been working in this area too. So she has some really great content. But what the students are doing is we started kind of like with that gradual release. So we made several different stages where we started with visual activities that are only drag and drop. So they're showing, like, they're using counters to show 2 + 3 = 5. And so all they're doing is dragging and dropping at that point. And then in stage two, the students are, it's getting a little bit more in depth where they have a problem and the students then are using the images to create their own picture of that, of whatever the problem might be. So they're visualizing now 3 + 4. So maybe 3 elephants and 4 zebras. And then they can pull those out from the image search and visualize that problem all the way to, hey, I want you to now create your own problem showing addition and subtraction. So nothing, like, I'm not telling you anything. I want you to create something and I want you to show me how you go from point A to point B. So like when you get more complicated with multiplication, there might be more steps. And so kind of visualizing and mapping out each of those. So kind of, I think what they're seeing is really enjoying being able to go from an easier stage all the way up through to that true creative stage where they're kind of taking ownership and creating something to show what they're learning.
Love it. Love it. Tom, I'm going to come back to you because I know you also have an artifact here to share with us as far as math is concerned. So tell us a little bit about it here.
So math is primarily what I started using it for and what I use it for. And I've been trying to get my kids to visualize decimals and how place value works. And so yesterday I thought, you know what, I'm going to use Lucid, and there I found it's not an endless canvas, but it goes pretty big. So I started and I said, guys, this is a one, right? And then I said, if we take these pieces and we make 10 of them, we get a 10. And so then I expanded out and I said tens, and this is what, and then I said, if we get 10 of those, and they're like, yeah, we know that it goes to hundreds. And so I'm like, this is what 100 would like look like, this little square here. And then I said, if we have 10 of those and so on. And then I said, okay, but now we're talking decimals. What happens when we go back to this? And so I zoomed back. I went back in and I said, okay, here's where we're at. And this is the thing that kids get into. So I hit the screen and I zoomed in and I said, okay, the reason it's called a tenth is because there's 10 of them. So they could visually see that as I took these 10 and lined it up with the one, it fit. And then I went and said, okay, well, this is what a hundredth would look like. And 100 of these equal that first square we looked at, right? And then kids being kids, well, can we go smaller? So then we went and I said, yeah. So we made a thousandth and a 10,000th. We couldn't get smaller than 4 pixels. But and then I said, okay, guys, let's zoom out. And so I zoomed all the way out and they were able to see like it just gave them kind of a visual, and they were engaged. Like they were like, whoa. So, you know, sometimes it's not even just like we're all collaborating. Sometimes it's, hey guys, I need you to be able to see, and I can't do that on, you know, a little presentation slide. I have to have this immense, you know, expansive, what do they call it? I can't remember what we call it, but this expansive platform where I can, you know, go big and go small. And it was so fun to see their eyes go, oh, what? Because, this is the first time I've used it for this, but it was just, I'm like, this is it.
That's it. Like, you know, and it's those little moments, like you said, that light bulb goes off because they're visualizing the math. But you hit on a couple of things here, Tom, that I want to mention is oftentimes we don't have tools like this, obviously, in the classroom, you know, or maybe we don't think about using these tools or the technology in this way because it's like, hey, we're going to do the traditional pencil and paper because it's math, so you need to use erasers, or maybe there will be like a platform on a Chromebook, but you can't go deep like this. And I love the fact that you made the math visual. I'm a big proponent of concrete, pictorial, and abstract. So the fact that you were able to take it that way, where even though it was not necessarily concrete tactile, but it is a digital manipulative. And then they saw that pictorial aspect. And then that takes them to that abstract piece when you blew that out to say like, oh, like I get it. That is wonderful. And that is such a great way to be able to use this in the class, you know, just to be able to, and again, going back to the learning visualization, I think oftentimes we're just go, go, go. And students don't have enough processing time to really, you know, take in what they're learning, digest it, and just really take a bite out of it. And by taking the time like you all have through using Lucid, that definitely makes a big difference in the learning experience for the students. So before we kind of start wrapping up and everything, and then we'll get more, and Vanessa, I'll come back to you so we can, you know, dive in deeper on your side as far as Lucid and what is coming up, and obviously understanding about knowing or talking about how Jamboard is going to be going away. And of course, we've got this wonderful platform like Lucid that it would be available. But My last question to all three of you, I want to ask you, because we've talked about how you're using this with students individually, or you're using it in that collaborative aspect. So I'll start with Shira. So Shira, I want to ask you, how have you seen, you know, Lucid promote the collaboration in your class? How has it played out? And what impact have you seen possibly in the student relationships within your class setting?
Well, I think that there's a really great component of the different ways to respond to people. So there's something as simple as adding an emoji, and there's adding a whole paragraph of text in a comment. And I think that allowing students different ways to respond to someone gives everyone a voice. So with my wide range of students and their abilities, everyone being able to respond when we're talking, you know, we're sorting through our ideas, classifying them, and someone disagrees with someone else, you have a constructive and real way for lots of different people to contribute to that conversation. So I had a student last week who said that they disagreed with something when we were sorting, you know, agree or disagree. And it was personal. So it wasn't like it was wrong, but like every student disagreed with them. They disagreed with the statement. Everyone else agreed with it. And what I imagine my fifth grade class is going to be kids getting all loud and saying, no, I don't think it was silent, because everyone was so ferociously putting GIFs in there, emojis, comments. And then he was writing back to some of them. And it was so engrossed and so engaged. And it was so productive. They heard him out. They read back. They commented back. They responded. Then some kids said, well, now I'm seeing his perspective. Maybe I no longer disagree. I disagree with this statement also. And the room was silent. There was not one student, because everyone was so ferocious, like, I needed to get back into this. And the classroom teacher, I push into the classroom when I teach technology. The classroom teacher came back in and said, they haven't been this quiet all day. What are they doing? I'm like, oh, they're really busy in a conversation right now. Can we have another 5 minutes? And the teacher was like, yeah, I have to see this. The teacher logged on and saw what they were discussing back and forth. And to be honest, it was silly. It was not this like intense debate of like world peace or anything, you know, but the kids were getting into it. And now they know how to use that tool. So when their teacher puts any sort of statement on there, they have the skills. So it built this really, really strong ethic around responding that gave them a way to do so productively.
Oh, I love it. That is great. That's so great to hear. Val, how about yourself? What has been your experience? What have you seen within your classrooms, within your students, as far as the collaboration is concerned?
I can echo everything Shira says. It's a game changer to have this canvas that students can all collaborate on, learning from each other. The shy students that would never ever confront or vocally contribute is all over the place, right? I think one of the other most valuable places I've been able to use Lucid, and it's been so powerful, is working with students in asynchronous environments. So there's a lot of online schools out there. A lot of students are working on their own from their own homes in isolation. And so these collaborative tools are so important to give them a chance to connect with their peers, to, you know, otherwise they're stuck in an echo chamber. And so when they get to interact with their peers on these docs, using chat on the side, using the emoji, using all of these GIFs, you know, it brings the class together. They aren't alone. You know, they get to know each other through these workspaces, and it's amazing. It's hard to do that any other way. And so Lucid is really magical, even in asynchronous environments.
Love it. Thank you so much. And Tom, how about yourself? What has been your experience?
I think the beauty of Lucid is it makes all those things that I, you know, through trainings and things that I've said, oh, you know, do a gallery walk, or, you know, have a think, pair, share, or have all these things. It allows them to do it at their own pace and at their own, you know, their own level. Like, they may still need time to think, but they can see what everybody has shared after they've done their thinking. Or the gallery walk, they can stay at their desk and see everyone's work. Like where if you're working in groups, I maybe have four or five kids at a group, but now we have, you know, 25 kids working on or 30 kids that can see and collaborate. And it just allows them to share ideas so much more efficiently, where before it's, you know, well, what does this one person think? And then everybody has this silent, or they, if they all chime in, it's noise. Where now if they chime in, they can read it and see it, or they can, like Shira said, they can share an emoji, or it just makes it what I think people have been trying to do actually plausible.
Nice. Love it. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing those experiences, because it definitely will go a long way for all our audience members that are going to be checking this out on the replay, and definitely or that are joining us live. So thank you so much for sharing those experiences. So Vanessa, coming back to you, understanding, you know, there was a huge announcement, you know, a couple months back, Jamboard, you know, it's going to be on the way out. And then of course, Lucid is something that is available and something that is wonderful and something that is epic, from what I have been hearing from all of these wonderful educators here tonight. But can you tell us a little bit more about how Lucid is working, you know, in preparation for, obviously now once Jamboard is already done with, what are you all working on right now? And maybe if you can share some of the future features, if there's anything, you know, for our audience members to know, that would be great. So they know that there is an amazing alternative to Jamboard.
Perfect. Yeah. So I'll just go ahead and share my screen, hopefully. So you let me know if I've done this correctly. I'm just going to do my entire screen just to be safe. Everybody else is much better at this. Tell Vanessa to get it together, Vanessa. Okay. So are you seeing Lucid Spark?
Yes.
Perfect. So like Fons mentioned, Jamboard is going to be leaving us and sunsetting, I think around the fall. And so they are recommending Lucid Spark as a replacement. And as you'll see, it looks very similar to Jamboard. And along the left-hand side, you'll see all of those favorite features, sticky notes, shapes, text boxes, everything that you're familiar with in Jamboard. Plus, you have the timer, voting sessions, and breakout boards. So you'll get a lot of additional features like those facilitator controls, locking things, hiding things, showing the author of sticky notes. So you'll have a lot of additional features. And something that's coming up is in January, we will be announcing that you can import all of your Jamboards into Lucid as editable documents. So all of your hard work, anybody out there who's created, you know, files and files of Jamboards, you can just quickly import them into Lucid and then continue using that moving forward. So hopefully you can continue working like Jamboard never went away, and you're just getting new additional features inside of Lucid. And then one other thing, it's not so much an announcement, it has been in there, but since we haven't really brought it up yet, something to check out that will be very different from Jamboard is that we have visual activities that you can quickly drag out onto the canvas. The quad category sort is currently my favorite. So you can drag that out onto the canvas. And what this does is you can customize it. I do it a lot for sorting. I was meeting with a teacher today who actually, they were doing Columbus Day information. Oh, Shira's got an example. So I will let her share the example. So let me stop. But the main thing is that in this collaborative space, this example allows you to have students go in independently. So I'm going to pass it off to Shira. I think I stopped sharing.
There we go. We're bringing Shira's screen up.
So this is actually something that I used to do in Lucid for my students. And it's a basic word work activity. A lot of my students get to upper elementary and really are missing those spelling skills, but now I get to make it a fun game instead. So what I have here is three sound spots, and these are all not movable. And when you see above here, these little hands, those things are movable. So just the alphabet. And I have a picture of an arrow pointing to the word leg and a little audio. But when my students get to the activity, they can drag the letters right into the spot, which is great. The cooler part is that after every student has completed it, we can view all of the responses. So most people thought that I would spell leg this way, and I'll see like a bunch of L's here, a bunch of E's here, and a bunch of G's here. But one student thought it was spelled with an O. So we'll see that one outlier, you know, hanging out, and then we can use that as a discussion piece. Whereas before, it would have just been, you know, I would have to look at every student's screen individually, and then I would have to collect that data myself. This pulls it all together. So when they're working independently on their activity, it's theirs alone. And then when I pull it together for me, I get that data right away.
That is amazing. And that's one thing that is very important, you know, just quick, actionable data that you have right away on the spot, because for ourselves as educators, that really helps us fix any misconceptions and be able to just maybe have either that 2-minute little combo, or if you're seeing a small group that is having some issues, then you can adjust your delivery. Maybe it was just the way that was said, or have that quick conversation. So that way we keep everybody at that same level. So I think that is so powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that example, Shira. So Vanessa, let's come back to you. I see here that you are sharing the screen with the Lucid Educator resources, which I know I've been sharing throughout the chat, and they will be in the show notes as well. So tell us a little bit about what our educators will be able to find through here.
Perfect. So this is kind of it. The Lucid for Education Educator Hub is our one-stop shop where you can access a ton of templates organized by content area. So you'll see in here we have, oops, I forgot, they changed the website on me. So when you scroll down, you'll see our toolkits. And so when you access the learning toolkits, these are organized by content area. So you can check those math manipulatives out, all of our science, ELA. So this is a great place to kind of get started and see how other people are using Lucid. And then back on our main page, that is the perfect place to go for any of those videos. You'll see videos from all of our wonderful educators on here today sharing how they use Lucid, other classroom examples, a link to our educator community where we have educators sharing how they're using Lucid. So you can kind of share back and forth and hopefully learn and also give back so people can learn and grow, as well as some of our like self-paced training down at the bottom. So this would be our one-stop shop for kind of going after watching today. How can you get started? This would be my recommendation on where to go.
Excellent, Vanessa. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Val, Tom, Shira. I really appreciate y'all. Y'all have done an amazing, amazing job. I'm definitely in awe of what can be done. And I know that our educators that are out there, I know for many of them, when they heard the announcement that Jamboard was sunsetting and leaving, there was a panic. Everybody was like, what's going on? Trying to find alternatives. But here you go. Like today, guys, you definitely got your money's worth on the show as far as, you know, what you could be done, what can be done through Lucid. And we have three amazing educators that shared how they're using it, how it has helped in their class, how it's helped collaboration, how it's helped the learning and to visualize the learning and then some. And Vanessa also with sharing the amazing resources that are available. Guys, make sure that you check it out. All the links will be in the show notes as well. So Val, thank you so much for your time this evening. Tom, Shira, thank you. Vanessa, thank you all. I really appreciate you all. And normally I end the show with three questions, but because there's four of us, that may take a little bit longer, and I respect your time. So I'm going to ask just one of those three questions. And just so we can end on a good note, I'll go with question number two. So hopefully you guys did take a look at it, and it's the billboard question. So Tom, I'm going to start with you first, Tom. The question is, if you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
I'm glad you went with this one because I actually could answer it. Some of the others are a little harder. I think to me it would be something focused on family. I think family is something that we're forgetting, and a lot of kids are missing out on that. I realize it's not something you can sell, but it's something that I think is so important, especially for some of these kids that they break my heart because they need that love and that caring. We provide it at school, but it's so important at home as well. So something along that line.
Perfect. Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate you sharing that and sharing your heart on that, because definitely it's something that we do need to take into consideration. Thank you. Val, we'll go to you, Val. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Mine is so corny, but it would be something like, just keep trying. That's my only secret to success, is that you just got to keep trying. Try again. You'll get it.
I love it. And that kind of goes or echoes a little bit with one of the comments that Shira made in the show that I really love. And I'm going to go ahead and borrow that occasionally, because I love what it says, you know, make a mess and get there. So it's all kind of goes with like, hey, it's okay. Keep trying. Don't worry. We can overcome that. But I love that. So Shira, I want to ask you now, if you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
I think something that I tell my students all the time, which is respect and protect people with different identities than you. The state of, I could say, like our school community, but also just our global community. If we just love people who look and felt a little bit different than us, we'd be in a better place. So I hope that message can be in my virtual billboard right now.
There you go. Excellent. Great answer. Thank you. And Vanessa, I'm going to go with you too. I know that, Vanessa, you didn't expect that you were going to be on the show today, but I'm glad that you're here, because like I always say, the more the merrier, and it definitely made for a great conversation. So I may be putting you on the spot here because you didn't think you'd be here, but I want to ask you, if you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Okay. So I have two answers. My funny answer and my real answer. So my funny answer is, of course, a billboard just full of funny dogs and cats, because anybody driving by, it's just going to make your life better. And so that is my funny response. And then my serious response would be that Teacher Appreciation Week should be every week, because now that I'm out of the classroom, I truly appreciate how hard teaching is, and just letting everybody know that this is a hard job, it is an important job, and I just can't appreciate teachers anymore, especially after everybody sharing today. I definitely got a little teary-eyed. So thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you do.
Absolutely. Thank you, Vanessa, and great answer. And again, Val, Shira, Tom, thank you so much for being here this evening, and thank you for being part of my podcasting journey. And I want to thank all our audience members. Tim, I know Tim stopped by. Tim Cavey, Teachers on Fire, so thank you so much. A special shout out to you. And for everybody that's going to be checking this out on the replay, whether it's through your favorite podcast player or on YouTube, please make sure that you visit our website at myedtech.life, myedtech.life, where you can check out this amazing episode and the other 249 wonderful episodes with educators, creators. We've got practitioners, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, founders. We've got a little bit of everything for you. And I promise that you'll find an episode where you can take some knowledge nuggets from and sprinkle them onto what you are already doing great. So thank you so much for all of your support. And if you can, special favor, please jump over to our YouTube channel, give us a thumbs up, and subscribe to our channel. We're trying to get to 1,000 followers. That would definitely mean a lot. And also make sure you follow us on all socials at My Ed Tech Live. So thank you guys again, as always, for all of your support. It has been an amazing week, and it's just a great episode to close this week off with. So thank you to all our amazing guests again, and thank you to Lucid. So please make sure you check them out. All the information will be on the show notes. And as always, my friends, don't forget, until next time, stay techie.